What become of the brokenhearted? They become hurters of other people. That whenever they have been hurt, what do? They hurt other people. They want other people to feel their pain. And sometimes it's innocent people that are around them. And they feel that that everybody needs to be the wrath of their brokenheartedness. And so they lash out and they condemn and they put down other people because they themselves have become brokenhearted. What becomes of the brokenhearted? They self-destruct. They self-destruct.
Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of How Do You Mend a Broken Heart? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How Do You Mend a Broken Heart?
Now let me answer the question that Al Green posed, and that is, how do you mend a broken heart? How do you mend a broken heart? Number one, you have to realize that God specializes in mending broken hearts. That's God's thing. God's thing is that he mends broken hearts. Look at Psalm 34 and verse 18. Psalm 34. And I just want to say, man, whoever took my glasses, please bring them back. Please bring them back. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is nigh unto those who are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is near, that whenever your heart is breaking, whenever you got that Dear John letter, whenever you lost a loved one, whenever tragedy has come to your life, that God, oh, thank you, dear sister. Appreciate that. He's not mine. That whenever you go through situations like that, the Bible says that God draws near to you. And you know what? I believe in the omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere, and I understand that, and I realize that God is with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I understand that, and that he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. I understand that, and all that's true, but let me tell you something, that when you hurt and your heart is broken, God draws close to you in a way that he doesn't at other times of your life. It says that he is near those who are of a broken heart. There was a lady that was in counseling. And as she went to counseling, she was dealing with some issues with her children. And the counselor, after a couple sessions, said, well, you know, I figured out what your problem is. He said that you love one of your children more than you love the rest of them. And the lady said, that's not true. I love all my children the same. The counselor said, no, he said, your problem is that you love one of your children more than you love the other ones. And she said, no, I love all my children the same. The counselor said, if you're not going to be honest in the counseling, then we're going to have to terminate the sessions. And so she thought about it, and she said, well, I guess we're going to have to terminate it because I love all my children the same. And she began to walk out the door, and she stopped. And she paused for a moment, and she thought, and she said, you know what? You're all right. I do love one of my children more than the others. She said, when one is hurting, I love that one a little bit more. When one is in trouble, I love that one a little bit more. When one is in need, I love that one a little bit more. And I'm here to tell you today that whenever you're going through hurt and brokenness in your life, be assured. That God draws close to you like he's never done before. Oh, I know he's with me. But it's good to know that when I'm hurting, that God shows up in a special way. And it says that he's near to those who are of a broken heart. Secondly, we see that God binds up the wounds of the brokenhearted. Psalm 147 and verse 3. Psalm 147 and verse 3. It says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. My. He heals the broken heart and he binds up their wounds. And I don't understand that when people are hurting, why is it that sometimes the last place they turn is to God? This Hebrew phrase here where it says he binds up their wounds. Have you ever been cut and started to bleed? What's the first thing that you need to do when you start bleeding? Somebody say that. What did you say? Put some pressure on the area. Put some pressure on it. To stop the bleeding. And when you're going through hurt, when the hurt is fresh in your heart and it's bleeding, and you turn to God, He binds it up. He puts pressure. He wraps that area up. He puts pressure on it. And it might not stop the hurting, but it'll stop the bleeding. It'll stop the bleeding. But we don't turn to God. We just keep on bleeding. And we bleed. And you know, that's why when people first get hurt and they first get heartbroken, if they handle them biblically, what do they do? Man, if somebody did something wrong to you, then what happened? You want to call so-and-so? You want to call this? You know what so-and-so did to me? You know what they did to me? And what are you doing? Man, you're just bleeding everywhere. You're bleeding all over the place. And the reason that you're bleeding is because you haven't turned to God. You haven't let Him put that tourniquet on there to stop the bleeding. And if you just let Him stop the bleeding, you might feel a little bit better. But we feel better when we tell somebody else. We feel better when we gossip about it. We feel better when we let the cat out of the bag instead of turning to God and let Him stop the bleeding. See, God specializes in mending broken hearts. The next thing we see is that God gives beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. He says here, how do you mend a broken heart? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to, somebody help me there. What does that say? Amen. To bind up the brokenhearted. To bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. And look how he does it. It says, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What does God do? God gives us beauty for ashes. The picture here is that the ashes represent all the ugly things that have been done to you. They're just ashes. The ashes of your life. Think back, and maybe you're heartbroken right now. Maybe your heart is breaking right now for something. Or if it's not fresh, maybe you have to think back a little bit how that you experienced heartbreak. And think about how it happened. And it was an ugly situation. It was something ugly that happened to you. And here, that ugliness now has become ashes. And God said, if you let him, if you let him. He said, all the ugliness of those ashes, I'll give you beauty. What an exchange. What an exchange. That all that ugliness that happened to you, God will give you beauty. Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was ashes and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. That when you're brokenhearted, if you turn to God, that he will give you beauty for your ashes. And not only will he give you beauty for your ashes, but it also says he will give you the oil of joy for mourning. That this oil is used on festive occasions. As a matter of fact, if you study the scripture out and you study oil, you know, one thing that you will see, you know, the anointing oil, the oil that they put on, one thing that you will see as you study it out, that in times of public calamity or grief, they said, put away the oil. Put it away. No oil. Why? Because oil represented joy. Because oil represented happiness. And what did he say? He said, I'll give you the oil of joy for your mourning. Every night that you stayed up, awake, grieving over that situation, every time your heart ached and broke, God said that I will give you the oil of joy. You know what that means? That means he will allow you to experience happy times and joyful times in your life. But you see, now you know why we don't experience, because we don't let him. We don't turn to God. If we would turn to him when we're brokenhearted and in all this pain and all this grief and all this turmoil that we're going through, and we keep on going through it because we don't turn to God. But if we would turn to God, we will still walk through it. But you know what? Over here, there'll be a flash of joy. Over here, there'll be a flash of happiness. Over here, something will come to make us smile. Over here, somebody will bless us. Over here, somebody will do good to us. Over here, somebody will call us and pray for us. Over here, somebody will give us a scripture to lean on. Over here, somebody will give us a song that will carry us through. Over here, we'll have a praise that we can lift up. And that's what it means, that all those times of mourning, that he'll sprinkle them. Oh, man, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting this morning, man. Oh, all those times of mourning, he will sprinkle in joy to help you deal with it. He gives the oil of joy for mourning, and he gives the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise. You know, when one of the things that when I first became a preacher, they told me that I had to have, they said, you have to have a black suit. And the reason that you need a black suit is because a black suit goes for all occasions, and especially for communion. No, just kidding. For funerals. That whenever there's a funeral, you know, you're supposed to wear a dark suit, black suit. And so I put a black suit into my repertoire. That was probably one of the first suits that I got. And, you know, I wore that suit out, and it was a black pinstripe suit. And I wore that so long, the pinstripes wore off of it. But why do they say black suit? Because that represents what? Mourning. That represents that you're in mourning. And what did he say here? He said, I'll take that black suit of heaviness, and I'll give you some platform shoes and bell bottoms and a fly collar. I'll give you some garment praises, right? You know how it is when you hit the cabaret, the club, to get your party on, right? On your birthday, not a holiday. You know what I'm talking about. You know how it was, man. You dress to the T. I mean, and that was what? That was your party clothes. And God said, I'm going to take that black suit and I'm going to give you your party clothes. That in the time of your mourning and the time of your brokenheartedness, I'm going to let you see a time that you'll be able to enjoy, a time that you'll be able to party. I got 8 points here. I'm only going to hit. I'll hit one more and I'll finish it up next time. So you got to come back. All right. How do you mend a broken heart? Number two. That's just number one right there. How do you mend? This stuff, I tell you what, this stuff blessed my heart. You need to get this CD and give it to somebody. Share it with somebody. If somebody got a broken, they need to hear, especially the next points that I'm going to be dealing with. All right? Number two. Don't run from the heartbreak. Find answers in it. What is the first thing we want to do whenever our heart is broke? We want to run. We want to take off. We want to what? We want to stop hurting. So we want to do, you know, as much as we can to move away from the hurt. But don't move away from it. In the hurt, you need to see what God's answers are. In the hurt, that God has an answer to your hurt. And you'll never see it by running away from it. Because you know what you'll do? You'll do everything that you can to try to take away the hurt. You'll get you some Johnny Walker Red or some Bacardi's and gin. Or, I didn't hit a certain one. All right. Or you know, let me go back to the 70s now, all right? You'll roll you up a couple doobies, right? And smoke some doobies, right? Or you know, you may turn to the crack pipe. Or you know what? You'll go, all those things I put up there, isolation and all that stuff, you'll turn to that. Why? Because you're trying to run away from the pain. And God says, look, he already said, I'm with you in this thing. Now, don't run away from it. Let's deal with it because there's some things that I want to teach you. And the things that I teach you, look what he says. Turn to 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, in all our heartbreak, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any heartbreak or trouble by the same comfort which we ourselves are comforted by who? By God. So here you are running from the heartbreak. God says, let me minister to you in the heartbreak. Why? Because I'm going to help you. And then you might be able to help somebody else. The same comfort that you received in the heartbreak, God says that you can take that same comfort and that you can help somebody else with it. But see, you know, saints, sometimes we are so selfish that we, you know, and I understand because I'm the same way. You know, that's why, you know, why did God give us the Bible and the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you, there's a lot of reasons, but let me tell you two reasons why God gave you the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible helps to keep you on track. When you want to run and you want to you just flee, what does the Bible do? The scriptures, the principles in the Bible, they beat you back to where you need to be. And then when you don't read the Bible as a Christian, when you don't read the Bible and you still want to flee, God gives you the Holy Spirit, what? To beat you back on track. And so that's why we have this. And so God wants to minister to us in the midst of all that so that we can help somebody else. And so as you experience heartbreak, don't run from it. Deal with it. Let God minister to you in the midst of it. I this last week, you know, I got so busy and I just felt overwhelmed. And I went back. And I pulled out my journal of all the lessons that God has been teaching me or that taught me when I was going through the height of my illness. And I just read back through all those things. And you know what? It was encouraging to me because I could look at that and I could see that there were clear lessons that God spoke to me about and that he ministered to me in the midst of my comfort and my affliction. And so don't run from it, but look for the answers. Find the answers in God. Number three, utilize the streams in the desert. That when you are going through a brokenhearted experience, that it is a desert place. It is a dry place. It is a barren place. It is a, if you're not careful, unproductive place. And it's good to know that God allows us to have streams. How many people know that if you're in the midst of a desert and you see a stream, oh, that's refreshing. You know how refreshing that is to see a stream in the desert? That's what Isaiah 35:6 says. It says, God will give you streams in the desert. In your barren, dry, heartbroken experience, God will give you the streams. And where do those streams come from? Those streams come from prayer. They come from devotions. And they come from worship. Like I said this morning, if you were here this morning and your bell didn't get rung, then your clapper must be broke. How could you sit there and once again, you know, I'm not a big proponent on people standing up. You don't have to stand up. You know, sometimes I don't want to stand up. Sometimes I just want to sit down because God is ministering to my spirit while I'm sitting down. And then sometimes I stand up because he's ministering to me to stand up. But when you hear the songs that were sung this morning and total praise, that, you know, I lift my hands in total praise to you. When we talk about the songs that minister to our heart, though, you know what those are? That's a stream in the desert. You know what? When in the midst of your heartache, when you can't pray for yourself and you call on somebody and say, look, man, you know, there was times, I remember when I was sick, I was looking at TV, I was looking at one of these preachers on TV, and they said, if you need prayer, call the prayer line. And so I wrote the number down. I said, I need prayer. I said, I can't even pray for myself. I need somebody to pray for me. And I called up, man, and they didn't even answer the phone. I tell you what, man, I was like, oh. But, you know, sometimes you get to that point, right, where you can't even pray for yourself. And you just need somebody to pray for you. That's a stream in the desert. In the midst of that, you know what? Keep doing your devotions. Don't stop doing your devotions. I got a devotion book everywhere. I got devotion. I got two bathrooms at home. And there's devotion books in both bathrooms. I got a bathroom here at the church. There's a devotion book in there. Why? Because that's a stream in the desert. You know, get you a daily bread or go to the family bookstore or go to the shepherd's bookstore. Get you a devotional book. So that in times when you're going through those hard times and otherwise you might just be doing nothing, get a stream in the desert. Find that oasis in the midst of your barren experience. How do you mend a broken heart? You realize that God specializes in mending broken hearts. You don't run from the situation. You find that God's answer in it, and you utilize the streams in the desert. I got five more points, and I'm going to finish it another time.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of How Do You Mend a Broken Heart, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, How Do You Mend a Broken Heart?, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do You Mend a Broken Heart? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do You Mend a Broken Heart? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.